Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are 2 hours from our weekend. That's got me jazzed up. Also, it's payday, which I'll just tell you, I desperately need that. Got a couple of bills due, but mostly it'll be nice to buy groceries coming up on Saturday. I wasn't supposed to be in town. I was supposed to be on my way to visit my mom, so I didn't buy a lot of groceries last weekend, but I'm going to need to refresh the fridge. There's a lot in the freezer, though. I don't know if I mentioned this before when it actually happened. I think I did because I was telling you all the story of how the Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds people who I work with on the pork rinds commercials and who we work with during Super Bowl week and Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats, Mark Singleton, he sends me fun Christmas gifts and he's very kind and I really appreciate it. So this past Christmas, although it didn't arrive until January, there was a giant styrofoam cooler of sorts that came in the mail and it said on the front cover, 15 pounds of dry ice, except it was really lightweight. I could tell that something was missing. And then I opened it up and I could really tell something was missing because the meat had spoiled. It smelled so bad. Whoever packed it at the Chicago State Company, whoever packed it forgot to put the dry ice in. So all of this incredible meat, this beef tenderloin, these awesome cuts of beef tenderloin, as well as a bunch of burgers, they had all gone bad. And I felt terrible throwing them out, but I know better. It smelled that bad. There's no salvaging it. So he ends up sending me another one. I just wanted him to get his money back, but he didn't end up sending a replacement. And this time it did have the dry ice, right? And so there were all these, I gave some to producer Dave, but there are all these individually packaged beef tenderloins. There are about a dozen of them. And so they don't line up well in my freezer. My freezer is relatively small to begin with. So right now, and I've got turkey burger and I've got frozen vegetables. What else do I have in my freezer? A couple of bags of shrimp. I've got some seafood. I do a lot of frozen stuff because I'll put it in the steamer, right? So every time I open up, I don't have any ice cream, which is really my faux pas. Every time I open up my freezer right now, a couple of tenderloins come falling out of the freezer because they just don't fit anywhere. I do have a couple of Tupperware of frozen dessert. So I have some pies, I have some pumpkin roll, and those are special treats for when I need them. But the secret to not eating all of the dessert that you bake or that you buy is to freeze some. Because then when you pull it out of the freezer, you have to wait probably 30 to 45 minutes to be able to eat it. And maybe your willpower or your common sense will kick in so you don't eat it all in one sitting. So yes, freezing your desserts is the key. I think I'll make some more chocolate chip cookies this weekend. But yes, I always, not only do I give some away, but I always throw some in the freezer. So then I'm going to head to the grocery store and refresh the fridge. But the freezer is full of tenderloin, which I do appreciate. I'm a little afraid to make them, though. I've never actually cooked a beef tenderloin. It almost looks like a hockey puck. Like that's the shape and the size of these beef tenderloins. So you need to make more than one. And I'm sure they're amazing, but I'm a little bit nervous. I've never cooked one. And my grill is currently buried in the shed. I cannot get to the shed. There's too much snow in the backyard. So I'm not really sure what to do with them. James, do you cook steak?
I mean, not too often, but I have. Yeah, you know, you need a grill, though, I would say.
Yeah, that's the problem. The grill is not coming out of the shed anytime soon. So I guess the tenderloin will continue to remain frozen and come toppling out of the freezer every time I open the door.
Yeah, I feel like it would just be kind of like a waste to not to use that such good meat to not throw it on the grill. I mean, you're not going to put
no
that on like,
the stove
pan. You can broil it, but like... I don't know. I feel like it's meant to be. It's designed to be on the barbecue.
It definitely is. I have charcoal grill. What do you have?
Charcoal as well.
Okay, phew. Oh, my gosh. All right. You're allowed to continue as our producer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Which athlete or coach or sports figure would you send to Mars if you could? And I'm not talking about permanent exile here. I'm just talking about getting him out of your hair for a little bit. I'm talking about not having to watch him or her beat your favorite team for a while. Maybe not having to hear from him or her for a while. I would be okay sending Kyrie Irving to Mars for a year and a half. But, I mean, he misses usually on average half of a season anyway. He likes the load management, the back spasms. I don't need to hear from Kyrie ever again. Now he's happy, or at least 15 months. Now he's happy because the Nets are winning and he feels validated. But it's only a matter of time until he turns into the Diva Irving again. So I'd be okay with him having a bit of an exile. Then he could really understand how blessed he is to play professional basketball for a living. So my answer, and James Harden can join him if he wants to. I'm still not thrilled with how James Harden forced his way out of Houston and the fact that he disrespected his new coach and his franchise and his teammates to get what he wants. That was, that left a bad taste in my mouth as well. Although clearly the Nets, this current Big Three, this new version of the Big Three, they're here to stay. They've won 5 games in a row. They don't always play defense, but when they do, they're good at it if they commit to it. And against the Lakers, there's a shorthanded Lakers team. They go small ball. They shoot the lights out. They rebound when the Lakers are missing threes, and it was the right formula. They don't even give up 100 points at Staples Center against the Lakers. So Kyrie and James Harden and Kevin Durant and Steve Nash, poor Steve Nash. He might want to go to Mars, actually. I would be okay with that Big Three spending some time covering the surface of Mars. Who would you like to send to Mars? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Some of your answers are killing me. They're really funny. And I'm asking that you stay light and funny with this. We're not looking for people to be jerks, and I'm not trying to go political here. We don't all agree with everyone else's political opinions. I get that. I probably don't agree with yours, and you definitely don't agree with mine, which is why we don't talk about them on the show. So I understand that maybe that's your temptation, but let's try to keep it light on Twitter and on Facebook. Mike on Facebook says, Peyton Manning, can you imagine the commentary? But can Peyton find a way to tape commercials on the surface of Mars? Man, could you imagine? Those would be worth a pretty penny. Frank says, Philip Rivers and his 34 kids. Well, your math is off a little bit, but why? You don't need to send Philip Rivers anywhere now. He's ridden off into the sunset. He's gone. He's done. He gets to be a dad. So I'm actually happy for him that for the first time in a long time, he gets to focus on being a husband and a dad and gets to spend that time with his family. This one from Bill on Facebook. Bill Belichick, because he's lost in space without Tom Brady. You can take your shots at Belichick now, but trust me, it's not going to be that way forever. But go ahead, take your shots at him. Robert on Facebook, Patrick Mahomes, go to Mars and eat all the ketchup you want on your steak there. No, that should never happen. No ketchup on steak. No ketchup on eggs either. I'll give you the salsa, but we are not putting ketchup on our eggs. Not on this show. Not on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Ketchup belongs on burgers and it belongs on fries. That's it. James, there's two kinds of people in this world. Here's another test. Do you put ketchup on your eggs?
No. I'm honestly, though, I'm not a big ketchup fan, like, in general. Like, weirdly, I know this is, like, kind of taboo, and I'm saying this on the radio, and I probably shouldn't,
oh, no!
But I do put ketchup on my hot dog, but that's, like, really one of the only
well,
things.
Well, that's what ketchup is for.
If you hot dog snob will not like that.
Really? I don't actually eat hot dogs because you don't know what's in them.
Yeah.
So that bothers me a little more, but you eat ketchup on hot dogs and that's it? No French fries?
I'm more of like a barbecue sauce kind of guy when it comes to French fries and like burgers. But I mean, ketchup, you know, I'm not like against ketchup. I just don't really, I'm not going to be the one to like smother it and like douse myself in ketchup. Like not for me that much.
You're not anti-ketchup.
Oh, no, I'm not anti-ketchup, but
it's just more of a dumb.
I'm not pro-ketchup. I'm, you know, I'm okay with ketchup. We have a nice relationship. It's okay.
I love talking about food. Sometimes it's way more fun than talking about sports. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, find us on Facebook or you can use our Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of you using our show Twitter account. We like it when you give us a little business there. Let's talk about this business, the bad end of business right now for the Milwaukee Bucks. Man, it doesn't matter who they play these days. They're running into teams that have got their number, including Toronto, on Thursday night.
Van Vliet straight away works left side, far wing, gets a switch on Middleton, drives into the lane, kicks to Powell, three in the air, good. Norm puts the umbrella up, and a big splash for Toronto. Ananobi near side, squares on Connaughton, drives, gets into the lane. Great pass to Bembry, who jams it down. Oh, gee, with eyes in the back of his head. A wraparound bounce pass to Bembry, who flushes it down with two hands.
That's the call on the Raptors Radio Network. I almost said the Bucks. I don't know why. So 29 points for Norm. Norm! And four players in double figures for the Raptors. So big win for them. They're already up 17 points at the half, though you did see a bit of a pushback in the second half by the Bucks, but not enough. Pascal Siakam, he did everything and did everything well. And here are the Milwaukee Bucks, who last year had... it was a record season, a franchise record season. And I know they fizzled out in the bubble. There were teams that fizzled out in the bubble. So Clippers and Bucks being the top two. But the fact that they've lost five in a row for the first time in 4 years, not since January and February of 2017, have these Bucks lost five games in a row. And honestly, Giannis has no answers as to why it's happening.
I don't remember the last time I lost five in a row. Five in a row. So I don't remember the last time I lost five in a row. When things go bad, that's where you get better. You know, that's where you excel. That's where you improve. Or you can, you know, turn the other way, just go home and quit, or you just got to keep fighting.
I don't remember the last time I lost five games in a row. And then he says, five? Is it five? Can I get a five? Can somebody give me six? He had 23 points, a dozen rebounds, eight assists. But right now, it doesn't seem to matter how good Giannis is.
We might lose 10 in a row. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But I know that we gotta have good thoughts. Behind our actions, we got to have effort. You know, we got to play together.
We got to play together. We have to have effort. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it certainly does seem like there are more mediocre teams. So more teams, I do this sometimes with the NFL, describe it as kind of thick around the middle. So this year, the AFC was top heavy, but the NFC was thick around the middle, more pear-shaped, right? Where there are a lot of teams that are clustered together around the 500 mark. They're not all exactly at 500. But you think about some of the teams that made noise last season. So the Boston Celtics, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're at 14-14. The Bucks are just three games above 500. The Pacers are only a game above 500. The Raptors are actually a game below 500, even with their win. In fact, they've got back-to-back wins. And the Knicks are hot on their heels, the number seven seed in the East right now, at two games below 500. So that's kind of the glut, the mediocre glut in the middle of the East. And then you look at the West. Now you've got your top three teams, the Jazz, the Lakers, the Clippers, and even the Blazers are eight games above 500. But then you talk about the Spurs, who've gone through a bunch of COVID protocols and delays and postponements. They're a handful of games above 500. The Warriors have won back-to-back games, but they're only three above the Mendoza line. The Nuggets are just two up. The Grizzlies are at 500. The Mavericks are a couple of games below 500. So I feel like a lot of this is still teams trying to find their groove, getting used to not just their own empty stadiums. I know they played in empty Orlando, but not the same when you're traveling. They're back to traveling now. All these protocols, the lack of practice time, the stops and starts when it comes to postponements and guys being in and out of the lineup. It's not easy to manage. It's not easy to navigate. And so what the Jazz are doing is phenomenal. Not only are they winning 20 of 21, but they're keeping their core out there on the court, which is really important. The Lakers now are going to be without Anthony Davis for 4 weeks. He was reevaluated. They're saying it's now a 4-week injury to his calf, but they didn't have Dennis Schroeder with their COVID protocols last night against the Nets. And so it's constant transition and constantly making sure you have enough guys to be out there. But when it comes to the Bucks, when it comes to the Heat, I know the Heat are 5 games below 500. And we had a caller last night wanting to know what can they do with the trade deadline. And to me, it's about standing pat, trying to find some consistency. So they're still relatively early in the season. Most teams are about 28, 29 games. A couple of them have actually played 30 games. But it's just been a tough re-entry, and it was such a short offseason. They're completely out of their regular routines, right? So I say with the trade deadline coming up so much later in March, just wait. Just wait and see. Don't make any rash decisions right now because things may look different in 2 weeks and in 3 weeks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can we send the NBA All-Star Game to Mars? Because it's a made-for-TV event. There will be no fans. Commissioner Adam Silver, he was speaking about it on ESPN with Rachel Nichols on Thursday, and he said they will be doing the All-Star Game March 7th in Atlanta. So they're going forward with it despite the qualms and despite the protests of some of the biggest names in the league. But he says it's a global event for us. This is something we're doing for our fans. He said it's one more opportunity for us to keep the product out there and to give people a shot at entertainment and to see their favorite players. And so they're using the All-Star Game for a couple of really good causes. I love the fact that they're going to give $2.5 million to historically black colleges and universities. They're called HBCUs. In fact, when we talked to Tyrone Poole during Super Bowl week, not only did he attend an HBCU himself, but he now coaches at one in the Atlanta area. And so they're doing a lot of awareness around health and safety and vaccines. So they have a bigger theme and a bigger picture they're trying to keep in mind. And the All-Star Game may or may not have good ratings. I feel like it doesn't really matter what sport is on TV these days. We're seeing declining ratings. The Daytona 500 actually had really good ratings at the start of the broadcast, but then they went into this 5-hour plus rain delay and people weren't willing to stick around, which you can understand. So they end up with some of the lowest ratings they've ever had in the history of the race. Might have been different if they didn't have the rain delay, but that's what happened. And it seems like every sporting event that's on TV these days, even the Super Bowl, seeing lower numbers. The NFL playoffs, they didn't get hit quite as hard, but every event is. And I just don't know how this is going to play. Adam Silver says he thinks it'll be fine with no fans in Atlanta, no buzz. But to me, it's usually an NBA convention, a party, and fans are so excited to show up and kind of rub elbows with stars from the entertainment world as well as the music world. And it's supposed to be kind of this big celebration of the league and of its guys that transcend the sport, right? It's a popularity event as much as it is a basketball game. In fact, it's more of a popularity contest than it is a basketball game. They're going to have a slam dunk contest. They're going to have a 3-point contest. I just don't know how it plays with no fans in the stands. It feels like that's the whole point of doing it. So maybe if we send it to Mars, it'll be more of a novelty. Although LeBron doesn't want to play in it at all, and so I can't imagine he'd want to travel for it all the way to Mars as opposed to simply Atlanta. I don't watch All-Star games anymore. I really don't. Baseball's the only one that I enjoy. I can't imagine I'll be watching it maybe the first couple of minutes just to see what it sounds like, but bleh. All-Star Game on Mars, that would be far more interesting to me. What athletes or coaches would you send to Mars if you could? 855-212-4227 on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us as we say hello to a Friday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Is that kind of player that is an impact player. So the things that jump out at you are his just natural leadership ability, his size and strength for the position, his intelligence, his processing speed. They're all things that you look for, and he checks all those boxes.
This is After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Frank Reich loves Carson Wentz, and Carson did his best work with Frank as the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. We know this to be sure. He took that head coaching job with the Colts 3 years ago, but for Wentz's first two seasons, 2016 and 2017, Carson Wentz was great. He looked like he was going to be an elite starter in the league. In fact, in 17, before he got hurt in early December, of course, that was the Eagles' run to the Super Bowl, but they were the top seed in the NFC, and he was about to be the MVP of the NFL until he got hurt. And then the Nick Foles chapter, and the rest is history. And I'm kind of wondering, those Eagles fans who 2 years ago wanted the team to stick with Nick Foles and let Carson walk or trade Carson instead of giving him this fat deal, are they now even more ticked off that the Eagles franchise and front office, Howie Roseman, at the time Doug Peterson, they went to bat for Carson. They backed him every step of the way, at every turn. They just kept saying, Carson's our quarterback. Carson's our quarterback. Carson's our quarterback. We believe in Carson Wentz. Oh my gosh, Doug Peterson this past season, even when Brett Favre was on Sirius XM NFL radio saying that he thinks, now he and Frank Reich are teammates from their Packers days, but he was criticizing the Eagles for not keeping Nick Foles. He said they made the wrong decision in keeping Carson Wentz. And Doug Peterson got pretty upset. He got pretty defensive about that. It was sometime during this past regular season. I mean, we have his defensive responses, though he assured us it would not ruin his friendship with Brett Favre. But if you're an Eagles fan who thought they should have kept Nick Foles and felt like they make the wrong decision by sticking with Carson, how do you feel now? 5 years after they picked him number two overall in the draft, 5 years and no playoff wins with Carson as the starter. Now, I do not think wins should be a quarterback stat. It's a team sport. We know that. And Carson getting knocked out by what was an illegal hit, at the very least a dirty hit in last year's playoff game, that was not his fault. He had an offensive line that was like Swiss cheese, if that good, maybe a half a piece of Swiss cheese. This season, he got hit a ton. He lost his confidence. He was hesitant. According to different NFL sources, including Randy Mueller, longtime NFL front office exec who joined us in the first hour, that trust was completely broken and irreparable harm had been done with Carson in Philadelphia. But if you're the Eagles, not only did you allow Nick Foles to go, you allowed him to walk, but there's an opportunity. Maybe they trade for Nick Foles. Wouldn't that be weird? Could you imagine after letting him go? He helps you win a Super Bowl. He's the Super Bowl MVP. He has another year in which he comes in and takes over for Carson Wentz late. Remember, they won, what was it, five games in a row just to get to the postseason? They go on the road in Chicago. They win that playoff game. That was the Cody Parkey double doink. And then they let him go. They set him free. They said, fly, Nick Foles, fly. Go be free. Find yourself a contract, which he did with Jacksonville. Promptly got hurt throwing his first touchdown pass of the entire season. Oh, it was awful. He got pile driven. Both of those are awkward. He got driven into the ground by a tackle, breaks his collarbone. I mean, it's gone so horribly wrong since then for Nick Foles. But could you imagine if he ends up back in Philadelphia? OMG. That's it. That's the answer. That is the answer. All of these different quarterback options for the Eagles. I'm looking up Nick Foles' contract details right now so I can figure out where he is. But I just can't even...
He's my quarterback.
To me, that would be amazing if they circled back and ended up with Nick Foles. I mean, he's familiar with Nick Sirianni, is he not? Okay, here we go. He is on the books in Chicago. And this is actually his deal that he signed with Jacksonville, I'm assuming. But he's on the books in Chicago for 21, $4 million base salary, a cap hit of $6.75 million. There is a dead cap hit there as well. So it's not as bad as Carson Wentz's, but it's over $10 million. There is a potential out in 22, but I don't know. If I'm the Eagles, I trade for him. What do you have to trade, though? That's the thing. Would you give up the third round pick you just got for Carson Wentz? Could you imagine? That would be the ultimate final chapter. Just gut the Eagles while you're at it. They're taking a $34 million cap hit for Carson Wentz to get rid of him, even though they hired a coach that was supposed to make things better. So, I mean, the whole cycle is just gross, right? They bench him. They start Jalen Hurts. I know I'm yelling, but this is crazy. The Eagles, this couldn't have gone worse for Philadelphia. They bench him. They start Jalen Hurts. They don't make the playoffs despite multiple chances to be involved in the NFC East race because everybody was involved in the NFC East race. It's pitiful. It's brutal. They initially want to keep Doug Peterson, but that whole Week 17 fiasco was the last straw. They end up firing Peterson. They hire a coach from the Colts organization that they think will appeal to Carson Wentz and can fix the relationship with Carson Wentz. He says, no way, I still want out. They get almost nothing for him, a third round pick, and maybe a first round pick in 22, though he has to meet some different levels of play with the Colts. They don't have a quarterback now, but they have a head coach that's familiar with Carson Wentz. Oh my gosh. And to top it all off, I think they should trade for Nick Foles. You might as well just bring him back now. I mean, somebody's got to rally that locker room. Oh my gosh, what a mess. Do you know, here's your nerd alert. The $34 million, or to be more precise, $33.8 million dead cap hit, meaning the player is dead to them. He's not on their roster anymore. They still cannot use that $33.8 million. It's essentially that it's taken off the top of their salary cap. Let's say for the sake of argument, the cap drops to $180 million. That's the floor. It can't go any lower than that. But most NFL sources will tell you maybe it's going to be 181, 182, but it's going to be pretty close to 180. Do you know that the Eagles cannot use nearly 19% of their salary cap? They're already down 19%. Their salary cap is 19% lower than every other team in the NFL because of a player that's not on their roster. At this point, you already are humiliated and embarrassed by these moves. You might as well just go get Nick Foles. Just go trade. The Bears don't want him anymore. They'll give him up for dirt cheap. Just go trade for Nick Foles. That's it. James, that's how it's going. I'm telling you what. I don't make many predictions, but Nick Foles is going to head back to the Eagles.
One of my best friends is a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. If that happens, I'm not sure if I'd see him again.
He might go to Mars.
To put it lightly, yes, he might go to Mars.
Oh my gosh, that would be the best final chapter of the Eagles Carson Wentz saga. It would be so funny. 855-212, I'd be happy for Foles. 855-212-4227. Who would you like to see on Mars? An athlete, a coach, maybe it's Howie Roseman of the Eagles. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jesse's in Dallas. Oh, dear, this could be bad.
Hey, Amy, I definitely got my boy Jerry's back. I never went to college. He's a frat boy.
Why do you fall in love with Johnny Manziel?
You might be in love with Johnny Manziel, but I pretty much despise the cat.
I really got to have Jerry's back. He is old. You can't hate the man for having a few drinks. Are you really going to go after an old man like that?
Jerry Jones sets himself up for it, Jesse.
Tomorrow and the next day after that, he's not going to remember what he said. It's because of booze.
I don't think that's what you want to do. Be like Jerry Jones when you're 73. Poor Jesse. I don't want to waste my time. Become another
casualty of society. I'll never fall. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I haven't yet heard a Dallas Cowboys fan say Jerry Jones should go to Mars, but I know you're thinking it. I suppose if what you want is to be super rich and be in charge of an NFL franchise, there are only 32 of them, and to have your own yacht that is larger, actually, you could probably put four of my houses on his one yacht, and to have the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want to, then I guess Jerry Jones. But I thought there would be some of you who would tell me, let's send him to Mars. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I did it. I recorded a CBS Sports Minute and said my idea to fix the Eagles now at quarterback. I mean, I know it's a short-term measure. You might as well just go get Nick Foles. You already look like total dopes for the way that you're paying. Well, you're not paying it, but you're taking a $34 million cap hit for a guy who wanted out of town. So you gave him up for a second-round pick that could possibly be a first-round pick, but that's not till 22, and a third-round pick. You gave up almost nothing if you're the Colts to get a starting quarterback. Now, maybe it turns into a first-round pick if he starts 75% of their upcoming games, or 70% plus they make the playoffs, but you know what that means? If they make the postseason in Indianapolis, again, that draft pick isn't super high anyway. So the Carson Wentz sweepstakes, which turned out to be only one team, the Colts, worked out very well for the individual player as well as for Frank Reich and his team. They've got to be ecstatic. Now, dovetailing back to our conversation from earlier this week about the actual quarterbacks who are available, Carson Wentz has crossed off the list. Next best option, would it be Sam Darnold? Cam Newton's a free agent. We've talked about that. Mitch Trubisky, we know the Bears are looking for a new quarterback because they've had feelers out there for some of these veterans who were pseudo-available. I think everybody would take Deshaun Watson, but to this point, not so available. Marcus Mariota? Our team's kicking the tires on Marcus Mariota? Mike Glennon, Gardner Minshew? Even the Eagles don't really have a proven starter. I mean, you could go with Jalen Hurts to begin the 21 season. You've got a full offseason with him, whatever that looks like. But he's still a question mark, let's be honest. The whole thing is so convoluted. But the Colts wanted to get it done, and honestly, it didn't cost them that much. It's costing the Eagles more to get rid of Carson Wentz than it's actually costing the Colts to have him on their roster. Isn't that crazy? The Eagles are taking the largest cap hit for a player that's not on their roster anymore in NFL history. The largest cap hit for a departed player in NFL history. $33.8 million. The Colts are only paying $25 million for Carson for this season. They do have to give him his guaranteed bonus, which is $10 million in about a month or so. But come on, as starting quarterbacks go, that's cheap. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You're cracking me up with your responses to our men are from Mars, women are from Venus question. No, it's not that. But it is a Mars question. In honor of NASA successfully landing the Perseverance rover on the surface of Mars, and there are cool videos out there. There's audio of what it was like to be inside the control center as NASA was deploying the parachute and seeing the rover get down to the surface of Mars. Pretty cool. They broke out in all kinds of cheers, which I love. But in honor of the Perseverance on the surface of Mars, already some pictures out there. In fact, you can see one if you check out our Twitter account, After Hours CBS. Which athlete would you like to send to the Red Planet to babysit the Perseverance rover? And we're looking for fun answers, okay? We're not looking for political answers in any way, shape, or form. Not looking for you to be nasty. No one is sending anyone to Mars. But it would be kind of fun if, let's say, you are a fan of the New Orleans Saints, and what you're staring at is Tom Brady in your division now for at least one more year. But I'm thinking the man's not retiring until he's 50. Maybe not even then. Wouldn't you like to send Tom Brady to Mars just for a season? In fact, it takes an entire season for you to get to Mars. 7 months. Wowzers. Maybe it's LeBron James. Because everywhere he goes, his teams go to the NBA Finals. If you could dispatch him to Mars, that Western Conference would look a little bit different. So who would you send to Mars? An athlete, a coach, someone who's standing in your way? 855-212-4227. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. I like this from George. On Facebook, he says Russell Wilson, so he can truly reach his unlimited self. Can you find that? That's in our system, producer James, if you'd like to find it. Oh, this one's for you, actually, James. Ken's mad. He says everyone who puts ketchup on hot dogs.
I told you.
No, they go on hot dogs. I mean, I don't eat hot dogs, but when I did eat hot dogs, ketchup goes on hot dogs. Ketchup, mustard, what else would you put on a hot dog?
People just like the mustard. They think it's like traditional and it's got to be mustard and it's strictly mustard. But like,
I see people put relish on their hot dogs.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's gross. Yeah. Disgusting. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's in relish, but no thank you. It just looks gross. So you can take your ketchup to Mars if you like. Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. This answer from Joe is pretty dumb. I got to tell you, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell is coming off one of the best performances that an NFL commissioner or any commissioner in any sport has ever pulled off. Right now, Roger Goodell couldn't be in higher esteem, even for players who never want to give the front offices or the owners any credit. Roger Goodell did what had to be done as the NFL navigated this uncertainty and this unpredictability of this season. Come on now. They needed him, and he proved himself, and his front offense proved itself. So you could send Roger Goodell to Mars, but the NFL would not operate nearly as smoothly. 855-212-4227. Kind of cool to hear from the Colorado Rockies as they commence their spring training, and certainly they're doing it without having Nolan Arenado, but what I've heard from them, and this is from Bud Black as the manager, all the way down through the pitching staff, the guys who spoke on Thursday. Hey, we're not done. Just because Arenado wanted out and because the contract was too rich for the Rockies' blood, we're not done. Just watch and see what we can do. And that was really the message from pitcher Kyle Freeland.
As a whole team, we're, you know, using that as a, you know, chip on our shoulder to, you know, push us through this season and, you know, shock the world and prove the doubters wrong. For me, it's just that consistent factor, making sure every 5 days I'm going out, you know, getting as deep into ball games as I possibly can and leaving my team with a chance to win.
We're going to shock the world. Shock. I like it. Circle the wagons, baby. When everyone else thinks you don't have a snowball's chance in Hades, that's usually a very powerful motivation. Now, that was Kyle Freeland. How about Bud Black? Obviously, you lose a player of Nolan's caliber, and it leaves a mark.
You got to turn the page quickly. I think you can't dwell on certain things. But, you know, it will be different. But as soon as we start, you know, even as early as today, and just talking with the guys know, and there's a lot of position players here who are going to do some, you know, some workouts as well on some of the backfields.
So they're getting together. They're getting together early. Already have position players with them at spring training. They're going to turn the page quickly from Bud Black. But he's in that same kind of mode as the Kyle Freeland is, hey, you may doubt us, but that's only going to motivate us because we're starting something new here and we believe in ourselves.
This is a new era of a new team. And, you know, teams change you know, teams change personnel each and every year. If you go through it, Pat, and you look at teams that have, you know, moved players or free agency, you know, there's a natural movement of players each and every year. You know, from the Rockies to the Red Sox to the Tigers to the Astros to the Marlins to the Giants, it doesn't matter. I mean, teams change. And this will be our team. I mean, this will be our team this year. And this team will create an identity amongst this group of players. And from talking to the players, they're excited about that, you know, about, you know, maybe a new chapter. It comes down to professional players who have a lot of confidence, who are being told that, you know, the odds are stacked against them. But, you know, my message to the team in general, I won't share exactly everything I'm going to, you know, talk with the team on a daily basis about, but, you know, just watch us. Just see what happens. It's why we play.
We're going to shock the world. Just watch us. No doubt that was an inspired first meeting with Bud Black and his roster, whoever is already there at spring training. The pitchers for sure, some of the position players. As opposed to this being a demoralizing move, which maybe it was one that they were bracing for. You lose a star player who generates a lot of stats and obviously brings a lot of eyeballs. But the team is not devoid of talent. It's a difficult division, the NL West, and that's probably the biggest challenge. But they've had some recent success. Bud Black is a strong leader, and this is a great motivator. So I like it. Just watch us. We can shock the world. That's what you want to hear in the wake of a move like this, where very often then fans and maybe even other players or managers around the league would kind of dismiss you as an also-ran or as irrelevant. Not internally, and that's what matters. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So a few of your most recent answers. Who would you send to Mars from the sports world if you could? Here's one. I would send Ryan Pace to Mars. Need I say more? Hashtag save the Bears. Hey, if Ryan Pace is willing to trade Nick Foles back to the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't know. You might end up with a draft pick that could help you boost your roster. I know, I'm stuck on that now. Michael says Nick Saban, so someone else can win a national championship. We had another post that suggested Dabo Swinney needs to go to Mars. The two of them could hang out there together and college football would magically open up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.